Welcome to Positive Rate, an Allied Pilots Association podcast.
Welcome back to Positive Rate. This week, I'm in Washington, D.C., visiting with CAPA, the Coalition of Airline Pilots Associations. I'm here with Captain Larry Rooney, the president of CAPA and an APA member, along with Marianne DeMarco, the executive director of CAPA. It's great to have you guys here. Larry, can you talk to us about the role that CAPA plays for APA?
Oh, I'd be happy to, and thanks for having us here this morning, actually. A lot of people don't really understand the critical role that CAPA performs on behalf of APA. CAPA is the world's largest professional pilot trade association. We represent almost 36,000 pilots. Our goal is to extend the reach of APA to become sort of a force multiplier for the work that is done by APA. We always look at the role that CAPA plays in Washington as almost like a three-legged stool. We have a very, very robust government affairs committee working through the support of the political action monies that come in from our membership, and then supplemented by the trade association, which again provides a greater ability for the collective group to hit on much higher levels in government. And that's really our background. That's really where we were formed in order to be able to accomplish on behalf of our membership. So two decades ago, CAPA was formed, and we have been steadily growing since. We're about 36,000 members today.
So Larry, can you share with us who some of the members of CAPA are?
Yes, I'm happy to. In fact, today we have six member associations that form the collective group of CAPA. So we have the Allied Pilots Association, for the pilots of American Airlines, of course, of which I am one, as are you. And we have the Independent Pilots Associations, which are the pilots for the United Parcel Service, or UPS. We have NJASAP, which is the pilot association representing NetJets. And then we have primarily most of the pilots that make up the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. So we have three Teamster locals that are part of CAPA. Teamster Local 357, which is Republic Airways. We have Teamster Local 1224, which is they have a plethora of members in their group. They have everybody from Cape Air to Apex in that group. And then lastly, we have a Teamster Local 2750, which is the Atlas Air Pilots.
How does CAPA represent APA's interests while representing all the various interests that would come up in a group that large with so many varied backgrounds?
That's a really good question, actually. So you would think on the whole that we would be completely on opposite fences with regard to some of our issues. And what we find is that, many times because of the different points of view that we might have, when we can come together in unison on an issue, it is one that adds additional strength to the argument. The ability for us to work as a collective team should become very, very critically important. In many cases we're different, but that when we can come together, in one voice, that voice becomes very powerful.
So how does the voice alter or change or meet the needs of the collective when something like the 1500-hour rule comes up?
Well, I mean, we have fought long and hard on the 1500-hour rule. I can speak to this personally because the 1500-hour rule came up following the tragic loss of the Colgan airplane up in Buffalo, New York. Just prior to that, I was actually accepted as a member of the NTSB's working group on operations and human factors for the Miracle Knudsen accident, the Flight 1549. Working, internal to that investigation, it became clear when the Colgan air accident happened a week later to do a kind of a compare and contrast between the two events. And, what was the difference between an airplane that was incapable of power sustained flight, and yet everyone survived on that airplane? And looking at the Colgan accident, where there was really nothing wrong with the airplane mechanically, but it was the way the crew responded to an unusual circumstance that wound up, in tragedy. And it became clear that an experienced crew was really the deciding factor in that. The resultant of that event was the impetus for Congress to look at pilot experience levels, pilot training levels, and mandating a change to the requirement for pilot hours. And that really took place in the form of setting a standard. We always talk about the 1500-hour rule, but quite frankly, it's a licensing standard so that all pilots that were flying, for Part 121 carriers would now be held to the highest licensing standard, which is the airline transport license. So that's where the 1500 hours comes from. Everybody thinks it's an arbitrary number, but the reality is it's based on a licensing standard. And we have fought, for many, many years to uphold that standard. And we look at the incredible safety record that we've experienced over the last decade, post change to the rule. And, whether you connect the two together or not, the reality is that we've seen the safest period in air transportation in the history of air transportation.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. It's something we've really been able to enjoy because of some of the changes that were unfortunately brought about because some of the accidents that happened.
And, to that point, I just wanted to say that we have seen a lot of attempts to roll back the 1500-hour rule. One of the important roles that CAPA plays is that we serve on a lot of the rulemaking committees that really look at the nuances of training requirements, experience requirements. We have served on the air carrier training ARC since its inception. And that air carrier training ARC is one that looks at a lot of things that are related to pilot training experience. And back in 2016, there was an attempt to lower those standards. CAPA was the lone pilot labor voice that fought against that reduction. So, I mean, absent, I think, our work back, 8, 9 years ago, we probably would have seen a reduction in pilot qualification hours going into this FAA reauthorization bill. So it is a hot topic. Certainly, there's been a lot of emphasis on that. This particular issue held up the markup in the Senate Commerce Committee for months and months until they could reach what they thought was a solution of a compromise to it. We're not sure exactly what that will be until it's signed into law. But I can tell you this, that because we held the line on that, I think that we today, the standards are higher than they probably would have been absent our influence.
With that being said, what happens at CAPA at the table with all these different carriers, all these competing interests, when American wants something to go one way and maybe somebody else wants it to go another way? What happens with CAPA in comparison to other groups or in general that protects every pilot group at the table?
So our current structure is one that requires a unanimous agreement among our member associations. So our member associations maintain their autonomy. So as an independent pilots association, you always have the ability to trump any initiative that would be brought forth.
Larry, can you explain how a trade association differs from a union?
Yeah, so a trade association provides unions with greater voice, but they also allow for the autonomy to exist with the member associations. So it's kind of like keeping the best of both worlds. The fact is that, we believe that the membership that is represented by each of our member associations knows best what their members want, with regard to pay, working conditions, work rules. That's something that we feel that they're best suited for. So they maintain that autonomy because they're a union. But to get that additional reach, that is required in order to have a greater voice in Washington, that's where the trade association comes into play. So as a trade association, we do not involve ourselves in issues that are parochial to our member associations. And it's kind of one of the strengths that we have in Washington because we are not a union, because we are a trade association. We can't, when we come in to lobby on behalf of our member associations, the assumption is that because we can't lobby pay and working conditions, we kind of deconflict the thought that we're there strictly to drive an agenda for an economic reason. So our voice is one that is more pure safety, pure legislative, pure security. So it puts us on a different plane when we come in to lobby on behalf of the profession. And I think that's one of the biggest strengths of the model that we have with APA and Kappa, is that Kappa is not able to influence what happens at APA or any of our member associations, because the pilot group at each of those associations is really the boss of their lifestyle, their pay, their working conditions.
First Officer McBride's conversation with Captain Rooney and Miss DeMarco will continue in the next episode of Positive Rate.
Thank you for listening to Positive Rate. Be sure to subscribe so you can stay informed.